Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's September the 18th. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Dave Dickey will be along, too, in a moment. He'll take a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast, and we'll hear a commentary from the Farm Bureau. Just after the bottom of the hour, of course, Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, will join us to take a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. The numbers in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon finished the day like this. December wheat, $1.69. They were down 6 on the afternoon. March contract, these are the numbers from Chicago. March contract, 872.5. We're down 4.5. And the May futures were down 4.5 for the day. Kansas City wheat settled down 9.25 at $8.48.75. From the corn pit, December contract, 352.25 unchanged. The March futures at 369 were unchanged. In May, at $3.79, we're down 3/4. December contract at $4.04.25, up 1/4 for the day in the corn pit for next year. November beans at $9.69.5, up 1. January futures up 1 at $9.84.5. And the March contract, $9.92. They were down 1 for the day. November soybeans next year at $9.28.25, down 1.25. Soybean meal futures October at $2.66.40, up 2.30. December bean meal at $2.72.70. That's up $3 even. October bean oil, $39.48, down 24. December futures there, 32 lower at $39.89. From the Mercantile Exchange, October live cattle, $95.65, 67.5 higher. December futures up 90 at $99.45. September feeder cattle, 116.25, up 35. The October futures at 116.45. They're up 95 for the day. And the October lean hogs, $1.15 lower at $63.87.5. December futures, $66 even, down $1.15. And the February futures at $69.52.5. We're down $1.72.5 for the afternoon. From the outside markets, October crude oil trading at $81.53, down 96 cents at this hour. The CRB index at 326.53 is up 166. The dollar at 79.25 is down 0.45. And the Dow at 13,645 is up 241 points for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look what happened to the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the marketplace, and maybe we ought to start with the Fed.
Those little boys decided we were in trouble of going into recession and lowered the interest rates 0.5%. That has caused quite a bit of enthusiasm. The S&Ps are up 33 points as we speak. The Dow Jones up 251 as we speak. The bonds are down 13, and the dollar index just continuing to plummet. You know, we look at the euro dollar is 1.4. American dollars to buy a euro now. So that, along with it, says a cheaper dollar and probably a little bit of positive accent towards our grain markets.
Yeah, positive for the grain markets, but corn not reacting, or soybeans not really reacting today. Is that the flush of harvest that has been happening in the Midwest finally weighing on the marketplace and keeping it somewhere near unchanged?
Well, I'll tell you what, if you told me that we could have the yields reported like we've been hearing for corn and beans alike, beans getting better as we go along, 10 days of clear harvest weather forecast, and all the combines everywhere running like this, and you see an unchanged day, that's a very strong day, Todd.
And that's a strong day. What are you thinking the market will do? Have we put that low in at this point?
Well, I mean, along with the interest rate change, we would hope we would see a little bit of harvest glut come along somewhere along the way to offer us some opportunity as to re-own some of the crop that we have to sell. But, this market, it just doesn't seem to want to go down. And I think that the interest rate change here and the dollar staying weak is not anything that's going to help it go on down either. The only thing we can say, we were 15% done with corn harvest. We'll figure to be like 25% done here by the end of the week. But, maybe as we get past and we run out of storage, you might see a little pressure. But all in all, it looks like this is a very stable market at this point in time.
When you talk to the folks on the floor or other brokers, what are they saying about the marketplace?
They're saying these funds are just relentless buyers here, and they said they did liquidate part of their crude oil positions, and they've got room to buy more crude. That's another thing we've got to look at, $82 crude. Just seems to be taking off and keeping the now, it didn't do the bean oil much today, but it has really the soy oil and the forecast of the USDA to raise the use of soy oil and soy diesel substantially up 40% for next year has been one of the things that's helped stabilize the bean market also, Todd. So as energies get higher, why, then, of course, we have to think about corn as ethanol and beans as soy diesel.
Anything that you should be reminding farmers of about their crop insurance at this time?
Well, yeah. I mean, we did set the price today for the wheat. I come in at $5.93, number one, and we have to, by the end of the month, if you are going to have crop insurance on your wheat, we have to be signed up for by the end of September.
Okay. Anything else before I let you go for the day?
I think that's about it today, Todd.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. Next week, a special week during the Closing Market Report, at the 2 o'clock hour at least, we'll be garnering an extra half hour, about 25 minutes really. We'll go from 2:36 right on to the top of the hour, 3 o'clock, all 5 days next week, hosting that program. Looks like we should have some awfully good interviews lining up, and we'll be opening the phone lines to you. So next week, be sure you stay with us for the whole 2 o'clock hour right here, and we'll expand the Closing Market Report to an hour during the heart of the harvest season. Well, at the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own Ed Kieser says tonight in northern and west central Illinois, it'll be partly to mostly cloudy, elsewhere mostly clear. Lows will range from 56 in southwestern Indiana to 68 in Chicago. Tomorrow in northern and central parts of Illinois and northern Indiana, mix of clouds, some sunshine, some scattered showers in central Indiana and the south, mostly sunny. Highs will range from around 80 in northwestern Illinois to around 90 in the far southern part of Indiana. The wind speeds tomorrow 5 to 15 miles an hour. A few scattered showers expected to continue across northern and central sections Wednesday night through Thursday. Otherwise, dry weather expected Friday through the weekend. Dave's here now with today's news.
In agricultural news, USDA Chief Economist Keith Collins says high prices for corn, wheat, and soybeans will likely spur a fight for 2008 planted acres. Collins also took offense at a Washington Post article suggesting that high wheat prices are due to demand for ethanol. Collins says this year's wheat crop was planted before corn prices took off. Collins says high wheat prices have to do with world supply, noting smaller than normal crops in Canada, the Ukraine, Australia, and the European Union. Collins also says capacity for ethanol production will hit around 13.4 billion gallons over the next 18 months, and where all that ethanol will go is a question mark. Collins says the U.S. will top out on E10 fuel, while in his words, the E85 market has a long way to go to take big volumes of ethanol. Collins says he believes ethanol can be profitable, trading at 70% of the price of gasoline. CME Group says it will begin the listing of options on ethanol futures for electronic trading on October 5th. In addition, clearing services will be offered for cash-settled options on ethanol futures. A former USDA trade advisor says don't expect a congressional vote on a South Korean free trade agreement anytime soon. Paul Drazik says the deal is on hold.
The Congress right now is going to move probably on Peru and perhaps on Panama, and then they will say, see, we're not protectionist. We passed two fairly small free trade agreements, but we don't like the Colombia one because of a labor problem there. And we don't like Korea because they didn't agree to allow in U.S. automobiles to our satisfaction.
Drazik says Korea's probably already calculated an FTA with the U.S. is not going to happen for another 18 months after a new U.S. president is elected, and it may have to be renegotiated. Monsanto has raised its 2007 earnings outlook. In all, the company hiked its ongoing earnings target to about $2 a share from its previous range of $1.75 to $1.80. Better-than-expected pricing for its Roundup business is helping drive the gains. In June, Monsanto posted a 71% increase in quarterly profit, due largely to record U.S. corn plantings. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, Dave, thanks much. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you that next week the station will focus on agriculture between 2 and 3 o'clock, more than it normally does, Central Time, of course. We'll take the whole hour, and in the second half hour of the 2 o'clock hour next week, we'll have some really interesting guests and an opportunity for you to call in and talk to them. Be sure to stay with us for the whole hour from 2 to 3 o'clock Central Time next week, right here on this agricultural station, WILL AM 580.
Agricultural programs are made possible with support from Cargill, featuring ProPricing Grain Contracts, a marketing program providing a variety of contracts designed to fit a farmer's performance goals and risk tolerance. Information on the web at CargillProPricing.com.
In today's listener opinion forum, Shelby County Farm Bureau's Amy Rochkis says biotech will help sow the seeds of the world's future harvest.
With provisions relating to nearly every crop grown for food, feed, fiber, and renewable fuel in the United States, as well as conservation, nutrition, rural development, and other programs, the 2007 Farm Bill probably has more stakeholders than any other legislation being considered by Congress. While Farm Bureau has a comprehensive scorecard to measure the utility of Farm Bill proposals, other groups also weigh in. Some are multi-issue groups, while others are single-issue coalitions. One topic that has drawn attention is that of sustainable agriculture. Under federal law, the definition of sustainable agriculture includes practices that will, over the long term, satisfy human food and fiber needs, sustain the economic viability of farm operations, and enhance the quality of life for farmers and society as a whole. Whether you look at the long or the short of it, the definition doesn't reference organic. However, many environmental groups and sustainable agriculture advocates firmly link the two, at times using organic as a synonym for sustainable agriculture. In the absence of a clear definition, it is important to shift the focus slightly from sustainable agriculture to agricultural practices and innovations that can sustain the world, particularly in light of exploding population growth, unprecedented before the 20th century. Organic agriculture definitely has a well-earned spot in the marketplace, but most experts would agree that organic production alone cannot feed the world. At the same time, the world's population is increasing. The amount of land suitable for farming is decreasing. That's the challenge for growers of today, and even more so for tomorrow. Producing more and better quality crops to meet humans' increasing nutritional demands on less and less land, using methods that protect the environment. United States farmers have yet to let us down. Along with a long-standing tradition of clearing the highest of hurdles, U.S. producers have biotechnology on their side. Researchers at Monsanto, an agricultural company that is big on biotechnology, spend approximately $2 million each day on, among other things, corn that is drought-tolerant, uses nitrogen more efficiently, so less fertilizer has to be used, and produces higher yields. In addition, Monsanto researchers are advancing seed technology to provide higher quality animal feed and higher oil content for food and fuel production. Innovations are also dedicated to ensuring an environment in which agriculture production can flourish. Agricultural practices and innovations that will sustain American farmers and the world's population are not exclusively biotech-driven, leaving plenty of room for organic and non-traditional approaches to farming. However, biotech's role in helping the United States farmer continues to provide one of the world's safest and most affordable food supplies is undeniably growing in importance. This is Amy Rochkis with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochkis' comments are her own. They reflect her opinions and do not necessarily reflect those of the station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, just call us at 217-333-0850. USDA has released its latest crop production report for the week ending September the 16th. It now says 55% of the soybeans in 18 states that represents the nation have dropped leaves. 4% of that crop has been harvested. 96% of the corn is dented and 64% has matured at this point. Harvested corn acres now stand at 14%. That compares with 8% last year and 9% on the five-year rolling average. Winter wheat now planted at 14% this year, 17% last year, and 20% on the rolling five-year average. And finally, the crop condition report for both corn and soybeans. This week, condition of the corn crop improved again, 46% in the good category, 17% excellent. That compares to 44% and 17% the previous week and the same as last year, 44% and 17%. For the soybeans, beans now 43% in the good category, last week at 42%. Excellent category dropped a percentage point at 13%. Now, here are the statisticians from the five top corn-producing states in the nation with updates from their regions.
This is Joe Prusacki, State Director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly Crops and Weather Report for the week ending September 16, 2007. The first frost of the season hit Iowa, some areas colder than others. Most crops were mature enough not to be affected by the frost, but some late-planted soybeans had leaves nipped. Corn silage and third alfalfa crop harvest is finishing up. Corn meals are being used to harvest down corn. Harvest is expected to be in full swing this coming week. Temperatures for the week as a whole averaged 8.5 degrees below normal. The statewide average precipitation was 0.24 inches, or about one-fourth of the weekly normal of 0.93 inches. This was Iowa's driest week in the last 9 weeks. There were 5.7 days suitable for field work, compared to 4 days a year ago. Corn condition is rated 8% very poor, 20% fair, and 72% good or excellent. 69% of the corn has reached maturity, ahead of both last year's 54% and the five-year average of 51%. Statewide, the percent moisture of corn in the field is 28%. The percent moisture of corn currently being harvested is 23%. Soybean condition rated 6% very poor, 20% fair, and 74% good or excellent. 86% of the soybeans have leaves turning color, 2 percentage points behind both last year's percentage and the five-year average of 88%. Soybeans dropping leaves is at 54%, 2 percentage points ahead of last year and 1 percentage point ahead of the five-year average. This has been Joe Prusacki with the weekly Crops and Weather Report for the week ending September 16, 2007.
This is Mark Schleusener at the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending September 16th. Cooler weather came to Illinois last week. Temperatures averaged more than 6 degrees below normal, and some northern counties even reported a killing frost, but no significant damage was reported. Rainfall amounts were below normal across the state, and the overall average rainfall received was only 0.2 inches for the week. Corn harvest is now in full swing, as producers have harvested 25% of corn acres. This compares to 5% harvested 1 year ago and 7% for the five-year average. 86% of the corn crop is mature compared to 56% normally. The condition of the crop is reported as 78% good to excellent. Soybean harvest reached 4% complete compared to 1% last year and 3% normally. 59% of the crop is shedding leaves compared to 41% normally. The condition of the soybean crop is reported as 55% good to excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener reporting for the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Steve Parn reporting Nebraska's weekly crop weather report for the week ending September 16, 2007. Corn conditions rated 80% good or excellent, well above last year's 55% rating. Corn mature was 46%, ahead of last year's 38 and 37 average. Corn harvested was 4%, ahead of last year's 3 and even with the 5-year average. Soybean conditions rated 82% good or excellent, well above last year's 59% condition. Soybeans dropping leaves was 28%, behind last year's 31 and 40 average. Sorghum conditions rated 85% good or excellent, well above last year's 54%. Winter wheat seeded was 35%, ahead of last year's 30, but behind the 37 average. Winter wheat emerged was 7%, ahead of last year's 4, but behind the 11 average. Pasture and range conditions rated 57% good or excellent, well above last year's 13%. This has been Steve Parn of the USDA's NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Loftus, Deputy Director of the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with highlights from the Weekly Crop Weather Report for the week ending September 16, 2007. Minnesota soybean harvest began this past week slightly ahead of the five-year average. Both corn and soybean crops continued to mature rapidly, well ahead of average. Producers were beginning to take high-moisture corn for grain, while the harvest of corn silage continued ahead of average as well. In the Northwest, the canola harvest was mostly complete, while the sugar beet harvest was gaining momentum. Cool overnight temperatures ranging from the upper 20s to the low 30s brought the first frost to many parts of the state. The average temperature for the week was 50.8 degrees, 8.2 degrees below normal. As of Sunday, September 16th, 73% of corn was mature, compared to 29% for the average. 3% of corn was harvested for grain, compared to just 1% average. 97% of soybeans were turning yellow, compared to 86% average. And 81% of soybeans were dropping leaves, compared to 53% average. 39% of soybeans were mature, and 5% were harvested, compared to 2% average. As of Friday, September 14th, 40% of field corn and 53% of soybeans were rated in good or excellent condition. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the Crop Weather Report for the week ending September 16th. Sunny days across most of the state dried down the corn waiting to be harvested. Clear weather allowed farmers to make good progress harvesting the corn and soybean fields. Early harvest reports indicate that the corn moisture level in some areas is drier than it appears, and the brittle corn stalks remain a concern. As the corn harvest gains momentum, the spotty precipitation patterns from the early spring are showing up in uneven yields at the county level. 95% of the corn acreage is now dented, compared with 92% for last year and 89% for the five-year average. 59% of the corn acreage is mature, compared with 37% last year and 42% for the five-year average. Statewide, 12% of the corn acreage has been harvested, compared with 3% for last year and 4% for the five-year average. By area of the state, 6% of the corn acreage has been harvested in the north, 9% has been harvested in the central region, and 28% in the south. Corn condition crop is rated at 47% good to excellent, compared to 71% last year at this time. 64% of the soybean acreage is shedding leaves, compared to 31% for last year and 50% for the five-year average. 4% of the soybean acreage has been harvested, compared with 0% for last year and 3% for the five-year average. The soybean condition is rated at 44% good to excellent, compared to 74% last year at this time. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL Urbana. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
This is AM 580 News Director Tom Rogers. Join us for the Power Hour, 7 a.m. Thursday, October 11th. With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Residents in Decatur are being asked to on their water usage as dry weather helps drop the level of Lake Decatur to two-year lows. The head of water management for the city says industries and other heavy water users are starting to use less, but the city's tapping into a backup well field for the time being. Lake Decatur is 1.8 feet below normal and dropping at a rate of a half inch a day. The shortage is reviving calls for the city to build a second lake to handle future residential and industrial usage. The State Environmental Protection Agency is closing its laboratory in Champaign. The move would put 17 people out of work, though they'd have the chance to apply for 10 new positions at a lab in Springfield. The Champaign facility has tested public water samples for municipalities, but an IEPA spokeswoman says many of those governments are opting to take their samples to private labs. However, one Champaign employee charges that state budget cuts led to the closing, and her union plans an informational picket at the lab on Thursday. The Vermilion County coroner is not releasing the name of a man who died in a house fire in Danville. Firefighters responded to a home on Bowman Avenue around 9 this morning. The coroner says they plan an autopsy on the man's body tomorrow. Former House Speaker Dennis Hastert, Representative Jerry Weller, and 11 other members of Congress have been subpoenaed to testify in the trial of a defense contractor. The contractor is accused of bribing jailed former Congressman Randy Duke Cunningham. All of the lawmakers say that on the advice of House attorneys, they don't intend to comply with those subpoenas. The subpoenas were issued by attorneys for contractor Brent Wilkes. He faces a trial next month in San Diego on more than 30 counts of bribery, fraud, money laundering, and conspiracy in connection with his relationship with Cunningham. Cunningham is serving an 8-year prison sentence after pleading guilty 2 years ago to taking more than $2.4 million in bribes in exchange for millions of dollars in government contracts. The first man to walk on the moon will return to Purdue University next month to dedicate a new building named for him. The Neil Armstrong Hall of Engineering will be dedicated October 27th. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about the weather for harvest in the Midwest.
Well, it's not looking bad. We are looking at temperatures that are going to be warm or sort of having a nice rebound after that cooler weather that we had not too long ago. When it comes to moisture, well, we're going to have some. Now, we expect most of it, at least in the Midwest, and maybe not arrive until probably after the weekend. So we've got some really good harvest weather conditions here for a good 3 to 5 days, maybe even a little bit longer.
Open harvest conditions for the Midwest. If we get out in the Plain States where they should be starting into the sowing process, I know they're just actually a little bit behind in the winter wheat sowings. Will they be able to put wheat into the ground too?
They should be able to. There's going to be a little bit of some wind in some of those areas. That's going to be a little bit of a nuisance. But right now, I think good weather for that and good weather for harvest until we get into next week. Next week, things begin to change a little bit.
Well, tell me about that, please.
Well, we're going to see a system, a pretty significant system, roll off the West Coast and into the northern plain states as we get into late Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And that's going to drag a pretty good cold front across a good chunk of the U.S. by the middle of next week. And that's going to set off the showers and thunderstorms and bring a cooling trend. There's also going to be another system, possibly a tropical system, forming in the Gulf late this week and into early next week that bears watching for the southeast United States. And, of course, any moisture from that system heading north could be a concern as well.
Since we dropped back into the Midwest and talked a bit about corn and soybeans, we better check in on the Chinese corn crop and how harvest season is going there and the planting season for Brazil.
Well, China right now, at least in the short term, other than the Far East where they're affected by some tropical activity, should have some good harvest conditions for the next 5 to 6 days. But like what's happening here in the Midwest, they're going to see precipitation chances and the weather changing that could cause some harvest concerns next week.
And the South American weather?
Well, not a lot going on. They could use some moisture. Brazil is looking very dry for the next couple of weeks, at least for the next week to 10 days. Some showers will be found in Argentina, mainly the northern and eastern growing areas, but they could use some moisture down south, and there's not much over the next week.
Don, we appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us every Tuesday right here on AM 580, and that is today's Closing Market Report. Be sure to tune in tomorrow at 8:49 for our first in-depth look at the day's markets. Have a good afternoon, and stay safe out there during the harvest season. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.